baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in his likeness, raised again to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Prayer for Sister Nancy as she begins this new walk in the Lord. Remember, baptism does not save. It's just the evidence of somebody that's put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by their obedience to follow the Lord in baptism. And we're thankful that Sister Nancy chose to do that tonight.
Amen. Amen. I hope you took your book, kept your book open, because we'll sing the last verse.
4:28.
Monday evening at 7 o'clock, prayer time for the men. You're invited to join us over in the Family Life Center and have a time of prayer. There will be some basketball playing afterwards, but as Pastor said this morning, don't show up late just to play basketball. Prayer is the most important thing, and that'll start at 7 o'clock. On Tuesday, Bible time with Brother Ray, that's Tuesday morning at 10. And if you're available at that time, that would be a blessing. For you to come out and spend some time in God's Word. And Brother Ray teaches that at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Wednesday, our midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, the 29th, the ladies will be having an ice cream fellowship. That will be at 3 o'clock in the Family Life Center. Bring your Bible, your favorite ice cream topping, and a friend. The fall conference, Pastor said this morning, there's a limited amount of registrations they're accepting, so please get your deposit in, ladies, by next Sunday, and that conference is October 9th and 10th. There are some items in the Discovery Building, lost and found around the church. I noticed like a crock pot and some other things over there, so if that rings a bell with you, and you might have left it here. Check that out after the service. Usually that far door is open, but if it's locked, I'll be around and let you in so you can check that out. And then there was a missionary letter or a portion from the Skolniks, and things are getting back to normal in Thailand, which reminds me we do have the project that we're sharing with Eastern Avenue for some Thai scripture portions. And so if you have time during the week, get with Brother Dwayne Chase or with Pastor, and they will get you started on assembling some Thai scripture portions. And it's a big project, so any participation would be welcome, I am sure. Take your song book, turn to page number 361. There at the bottom of the page, you do not need to stand. 361, the Lord till Jesus comes. prayer list, and it's always good to see an answer to prayer. And Sister Jennifer Stevens being back with us here today is an answer to prayer. And are there any we need to add to the prayer list tonight? Sister Jill?
David Lee.
Okay, the David Lee family. All right.
Also,
No, go ahead.
I had one on here from Miss Stacy. She's not feeling well tonight and asked that we pray for her.
That's Mary Ann Stacy?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Yes, Sister Nancy. A medical need? Okay. Deborah Carroll?
Farrell.
Okay. All right. Deborah Farrell. Brother John? Yes. Sophia. Your brother,
yeah.
Okay.
Dad and Miles.
All right.
So we need a little surgery.
Okay. Pray that goes well. Thank you, Sophia. Anyone else?
Just an update. I heard on churches in New Jersey, they did not get the injunction that was on the plan that they're hoping for, so they're looking at trial.
Okay. Sister Lois says that churches in New Jersey are looking for a trial because they did not get the injunction that they hoped to get. So pray that the Lord will get the glory through this all. Yes, sir.
That North Valley Baptist Church that I mentioned this morning, there was no arrest that was made, but they charged the church $5,000 for meetings today. They were cited $5,000.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. We'll be in prayer for that situation, though. Sister Cindy?
I have an update on my mom. She's in a coma.
Okay.
She's got a long road. She's got a little bit of underlying
vision. All right. Thank you for that update. Anyone else? Do you have a prayer you'd like to make? Okay. He had his hand up. That's okay. Suffer the little children to come to me. Forbid them not. Amen. All right. Take your song book. Turn to page number 376. Let's stand together as we sing, Take the Name of Jesus with You. 376.
Thank you.
Jason and Sister Vivian Simon will sing.
Back over chapter 30 verse 25,
And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. So now he has children, he has wives, he has possessions, he has a heart to return back home. But he finds himself in the middle of a crisis as verses 1, 2, and 3 begins here in chapter number 31. Listen what it says here. It's a change of attitude toward Jacob from Laban, his uncle. And he heard the words of Laban's sons. So be careful, men, when you're talking, because your children do hear and they will repeat. Say, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. Behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with you. So he noticed there was a change of the relationship. There were some problems there, and the attitude got from Laban down to his children and moved on down to the ears and the face of Jacob here. And it really dealt with wealth, to be honest with you. This is where we're at. It was simply that the wealth had been changed hands there a little bit. And you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, the love of money causes a lot of problems, and it caused a lot of problems within family members, kinfolks with each other. And this is where we find ourselves tonight. Now, of course, last week we noticed something, that Laban recognized that he had been blessed because Jacob's walked with the Lord. But there come a time of separation. Jacob said, okay, I will serve you yet another for my hire. And he removed his sheep, and there was a 3-day separation between them. And this, in my mind, is saying to Laban, just like God said to Cain in the beginning of Genesis, Cain, if you only do right, I'll accept you as well. Laban, you recognize my hand upon Jacob. Now, Laban, if you will do right, God was willing to save Laban. God was willing to be Laban's God as well. But Laban only wanted to parasite off of Jacob while the benefit was there. And he noticed something here that, hey, all the things that I had, all the wealth, it seems like Jacob has over here, and I'm having less and less and less. And verse 3, God comes alongside Jacob and he assures him that, listen, I'm with you. Now, this is an amazing thing. We've studied this passage up to this point. He left Bethel 20 years ago. Remember the story? He lays it down. There was a ladder going up, angels going up and down, descending and ascending. This is the first recorded time in 20 years that Jacob has heard from God. That's a long time, dear friend. Now, I'm not saying that God did not speak to him up to this point. It's not recorded. I don't believe God spoke with him. I don't believe up to this point he had heard from God yet again. And I believe there's a lot of God's people, dear friend. I believe you're saved. I believe they're born again. They've walked with God some many years. But at some point in time, they chose to go a direction that God did not want them to go. And they have yet. They're still living on principle. They're still living on theology, but they've yet to hear the sweet voice of God. And God comes along, and this is the loving tenderness of God. In verse 3, the Lord comes alongside Jacob and return and says, return unto the land of thy fathers, to the kindred, and I will be with thee. I'm with you. I'm there. You just do right. You come on back and you spend some time with me. And then in verses 14 through 16, you'll notice he calls to his wives. And Jacob said, called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the ring strick shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring strick. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring strick, speckled, and bristled. And the angel of God spake unto me in the dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leaped upon the cattle are ring strick, speckled, and bristled. For I have seen all that Laban doth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him as strangers? For he has sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. So now there's this consultation. He says, come here, let's go. You notice that the Bible says they went out into the field. They got away out there in the field, and they was there. And Jacob began to speak what had taken place through the years with their father, and began to convince them that God was with them and that God was giving. And this is what's very important. Verses 5, 7, and 9, Jacob gives God the glory for his increase. That's important to know, because too often we take credit. Too often we want to be boasted up and lifted up because of what we've obtained and what we've gotten. But here in verses 5, 7, and 9, Jacob gives God the credit for his increases. And his wives, they begin to recognize the circumstance around them. He spoke truth with them. Listen, you don't have to come up and scheme. Remember, he's the deceiver. He's the one that, was very subtle in his ways. He didn't try to scheme around this situation. He come to a point and he said, listen, I'm going to lay this out. This is what's happened. You can see with your own eyes what has taken place. And he gave God the glory. And his wives recognized the circumstance they found themselves in. Says, well, we were supposed to get such as a dowry or inheritance from our father, but it's evident that God has removed that and placed it over here. And whatever God says for you to do. Now I find some kind of little situation in Jacob's heart that wasn't handled right. You know, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament, the Bible says, if my brother have aught against me, and I'm here at the altar, and God reminds me that my brother has aught against me, I'm to leave that gift, and I'm to go get that right with my brother, and then come back. So that's a principle, a New Testament principle. Jacob didn't follow that, did he? Jacob didn't do right. Jacob knew the countenance had changed. He told us so in verses 1, 2, and 3. He called his wife and got them aside and said, look, this is the problem. Your father's upset. Your brothers are upset. Things have changed because the wealth had taken flight. Remember, wealth is it's like birds. It takes wings and it just flutters away. Actually, what we saw is God's blessing upon one man and one man refusing to seek God's face. When Laban found himself there in this. But now Jacob's fixing to make a mistake here. If you look in verse 17 through 21. Then Jacob rose up, sent his sons and his wives upon camels. He carried away all his cattle and all his goods, which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten to the Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, and that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had and rose up, passed over the river, set his face toward Mount Gilead. That's not how he was supposed to handle this. That's not how we're supposed to handle this. We need to learn from this. We don't just sneak away off in the night, just, tuck our tails and get out of Dodge. If there's a problem, work it out. God, there should be peace among God's people and amongst family members. And Jacob didn't do this. And there was a problem. He knew there was a problem. The right thing to do was for him not to flee in secret. It was that he would go and he would get that thing right. So, well, what if they don't receive it? That's their responsibility. That's completely up to them. You want to be right with God. I want to be right with God. God says to do it this way, and we do it that way. And we make sure that we're up and above board, taking the high road in situations. And so Jacob didn't do that. But I can tell you this, Laban wasn't ready to give up. And I tell you who else ain't ready to give up? Old devil himself. We as God's children, listen, before we were saved, our father was the devil himself. We belong to him. He's the God of this world, and he's not going to give up easy. And boy, he comes pursuing. He's a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. Laban said, hey, something's going on here. And man, he got up, he rose up, and he got out there and he was chasing down Laban. Listen, I'm telling you, God would have protected him. He should have recognized God's hand. Remember, God had promised that the younger would be the leader and ruler of the nation. And he didn't have to trick Esau. He did trick Esau. This is the same situation. Notice just said, hey, Uncle Laban, I know you're a little upset right now. God's blessed. I've got a heart and a desire. I want to return. Laban already knew that. Remember last chapter, he told him, and Laban said, listen, I see God's with you. You serve me, and I'll hire you. Then you can go. He already knew he had a heart to leave. And he should have went to him and got him. He said, well, Laban wasn't going to let him go then. God can handle Laban. God can handle your Laban. He can handle my Laban. We got to trust God to work through those situations and get it right. How do you know God can handle Laban? The next few verses teach us that. Look at verse number 22 through 25. And it was told Laban on the third day, so 3 days has gone past, that Jacob was fled. And he took his brother with him, and he pursued after him 7 days' journey. Man, that's somebody a little upset. 3 days gone by, 4 days he's traveling. Are you talking about some saddle sores right now? I mean, he's upset. He's wanting his things and his goods back. There, verse 24, and God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban was with his brother pitched in the mount of Gilead. God worked it out, right? Just like God had to intervene right here and work in the heart of Laban, if he would have done right. Dear friend, let me tell you something. As God's people, we need to always, always, truly choose to do the hard right. Always choose to do the hard right and not the easy wrong. And too often, that's what we do. It was easy to rise up in the night. It was easy to gather all your stuff. It was easy. It was 3 days' journey between them. There was 3 days apart from them. It was easy to do that. But the right thing was to do was turn to his uncle and say, listen, I've got to go. It's time for me to get back to my father's house. I've served you these years. All you do, dear friend, when you choose the easy wrong, you stir the pot a little bit thicker, and it gets a little bit harder to get out of that. Man, he's furious. Traveled 4 days' journey to catch up with him. 7 days, really. 7 days' journey, really, to catch up with him. There was 3 days he found, and on what does he actually say? Is it 7 days or 4 days did he travel?
7 days
journey. It's on the 10th day he overtook him. Wow, Jacob's travel. A little upset, he's a little bothered. But God intervened. Kind of reminds me of Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. God just intervenes. He says, I'll restore your soul. I mean, he's there and he walks with us. He takes good care of us. Look in Psalms 37, 23 real quick. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
And he delighteth in his way. Look at verse number 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. He's got to care for you. You do right by God. You do what's right by God. And you stand upright and you please God. You live a pleasing life before God, dear friend. And He'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. That's the God we serve. A God that loves us and cares for us. He wants to protect us and provide for us and preserve us. The old devil, boy, he's persistent, isn't he? Stays at us. Whispers in our ear. Tells us how no good we are. Remind him you're God's child. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. You're reminded that you put faith and trust in Christ. And you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternity. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Who holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Remind old devil. Hey, I might lose this battle in my mind, but I'm going to lean upon the Lord and I'm going to run to Him like a deer panteth, and I'm going to get around the throne of God and I'm going to allow God to strengthen me and to protect me and to sit me by still waters. So he was pursuing. Devil comes, devil pursues. Laban pursued. God come around there, talked to Laban, said, listen, you don't even speak good or bad. You don't say good or bad. So look at 26 through 35. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done? Thou hast stolen away unawares to me, carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? Didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is the power of my hand to do you hurt. Really? But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Here's the problem. He wasn't honest. He stole away secretly. He didn't do things upright. Now his character is questioned. He didn't steal these gods. It's actually Rachel, the one he loved, didn't he? I wonder where she learned to be so subtle. I wonder where she learned to be such a thief. Surely from Laban. But I think she may have saw her husband at work. May have heard the story. May have been sitting around the fire at night and him telling about how they deceived their father and Esau in the midst of all that. Wow. No, I'm going to tell that story. It's okay. I'll let that story rest for a minute. Verse number 31. And Jacob answered, said to Laban, because I was afraid, and said, peradventure thou wouldest take me by force thy daughters from me. That's a possibility. It could honestly happen. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live before our brethren discern. Thou that is thine with me, take it to thee, for Jacob knew not
that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban sent, went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents. But he found them not. Then went he out unto Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not, and said unto her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of woman is upon me." And he searched, but found not the images. Wow. Isn't it amazing, Brother Jim, that he went to Jacob's tent first? He thought he'd find it, didn't he? He went to Leah's tent. Last tent he went to was the one who actually took it. And there she was sitting. Deceived, stole. You see how the hooks of this world get you? She was headed out of Syria, and those gods that couldn't protect her daddy's wealth. Those gods that couldn't protect and make ring-stricken be born when it was supposed to be the hire of Laban, her daddy. And she took them. The hooks, listen, they're there. Not only now has she stole from her father some old Syrian gods that's made by hand, now she's lying to her father and she's lying to her husband. See, Sam, it'll take you a lot further than you think you're going to go. Jacob had no idea. Jacob, for once in his life, is being honest. But I guarantee you this, he would have never said, "Let whoever is found in, let them die." He loved Rachel, remember? Rachel was the one that he desired. He loved her. He never never once thought for a minute that it would have been Rachel. Laban check. Would you like the devil plundered in your stuff? Don't give him an open door. This open door would have never happened. He would have never went into Jacob's tent. Never went into Rachel's and Leah's tent. Never went in there if he had just done things right from the very beginning. Never would have got this far. His wife wouldn't have lied, steal, and stole, and been deceivious. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's not mocked in this. Do right. Always do right. Verses 36 through 42. And Jacob was wroth. Now Jacob's mad. And he told with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff. What hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Sit it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and thy rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee, I bear the loss of it. And of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen day or by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesterday night." Jacob says, "Listen, I've had enough of this." You know, sometimes your past really haunts at you, don't it? It's always there. People that knew you from years ago could never imagine you being godly and upright at this point. They come along and they bring up all the things of your past and all the baggage of your past, and it's always a reminder of who you were. Dear friend, if you're going to live an abundant life, you're going to have to let it die. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I count it as dumb. It's lost. When you hang on to that baggage, you cling to that baggage, dear friend, and it's all around you, you'll beat yourself to death. Jacob had enough. He said, Laban, if a sheep was stolen by day or by night, I replaced it. Always trying to pay back and to be honest. Listen, if you're a little deceptive, I think the saying goes, you can do a thousand things right, you do one thing wrong, it's destroyed. Just a little bit. Boy, then stay with him. Stay with him. He had enough. He said, listen, I served you. I did right. In the frost of the night, I almost got frostbitten later. In the drought of the day, my tongue cleaved to my throat. While I watched your sheep and while I served you, you're not going to get any glory serving this world. That's a picture of his service to the world. And there's too many of us God-bought Christians that are putting so much service in this world and then wants the world to turn around and give you an attaboy. When it's all said and done, it's going to drain you. It's going to dry you out. It's going to hang you up. And there you're going to be left to yourself. Nothing done for this world and in this world and for the love of this world will last the fire tried by God. And you cannot look for this world to pat you on the back. We should be listening for, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 43. Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle. And all that thou seest is mine. You see what this is? Listen. He wasn't willing to give it up. He wasn't ready. Remember I told you the devil ain't going to give it up. He's going to hold on. He's going to cleave. He's going to grab. He's going to pull. He's going to drag you back down. He says, what can I do this day unto these my daughters, unto their children which they have borne? Now therefore come thou. Let us make a covenant. I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone, and he set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones, and they made a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. Laban called it Jagar Sahadatha, and Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it was Gilead and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watched between me and thee when we were absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for to harm. And Jacob, and God of Abraham, and the God of Nahor, and the God of their fathers, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swore by the father of his, by a fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mountain, called his brethren to eat bread, and they eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up, kissed his sons and his daughters, and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned. 51 verses ago, this whole situation could end it just like that. Verse number 4 could have been verse 55 if Laban would have chose just to do right. Yeah. He set that pillar there. Now all this here ruckus and this kerfuffle's going on here. And there's a pillar. Now there's making, pledges betwixt me and betwixt you, betwixt that. And if you notice the language, Laban speaks it, calls it one name, and Jacob calls it a different name. Isn't that amazing? This is how the world does it, isn't it? This Christian should do it. I read a sermon last week from a sermon my pastor wrote 27 years ago, probably. It's talking about the difference from holy and profane in Ezekiel. And it says there's a whole generation that doesn't know the difference between the holy and the profane. I've been reading that thing, my pastor preached that thing 2012, probably 28 years ago. I got over here and I'm reading it out, I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing day one, it's convicting. It's bringing conviction to my heart. A whole generation, we see it here. Lost people don't see things that we see. We shouldn't speak the same language. Why do you say Laban called it one thing and Jacob called it another? Because they're different. God's people are to be different. Two different names in verse 47. And those of this world speak a whole lot different than we should speak. But unfortunately, dear friend, we have taken on the characteristics of this world in our churches instead of the characteristics of God. What a mess. Isn't it amazing that this could have been settled all those verses ago? Yep, Jacob, pretty bad person, isn't he, Pastor? No worse than me and you. It's just God showing us if we only will read and learn and discern that we don't have to do this kind of stuff. We don't. We can learn from other people, godly people, and people that have gone through. The reason it's recorded here is that we might learn from it. When you're dealing with people, dear friend, go back into the Bible and look at biblical principles and follow those principles. The God of the Old Testament, the God of Jacob, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that's our God. It's the God of the Bible. And man, we can save ourselves a whole lot of trouble if we just did that.
That's right.
Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pence is coming. And Jim's going to come lead us in the song of invitation. Surely if there's one lost here tonight, you take opportunity to come, let us take the Word of God and show you. But maybe there's a child of God that's walking this road with Laban. You don't have to keep going. Stop where you're at and get right with God. God will put things at ease with you. What page are you on, Jim? 385, church.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.